Well, good morning, Hopewell family. Welcome to week two of at home, online, whatever we're calling this, worship. Worship as the scattered church, as I've been thinking about it. So I want to encourage you this morning to grab your at home liturgy sheet. You should have been able to download that this morning. To gather around as a family, silence your phones, don't be doing other things. To focus on the task at hand. And the task this morning and in this moment is to worship together as a church family. And so as we do every week, I'm going to give you an opportunity to just take a deep breath, to cast your anxieties and your worries about the week that was and even about the week to come, to take those for a moment and set those aside, to lay them at the feet of Jesus. And prepare your heart for worship.
Dear God, we come to worship you today. We come to sing, pray, and listen. Father, you always hear us. Help us to hear you. Amen. Please join me in the call to worship. All who thirst, come to the water. Come, all you who are weary. Come, all who yearn for forgiveness. The Holy Spirit, through Christ Jesus, has washed over us. And our gracious and holy God beckons and blesses us. Drink deeply of these living waters. Glory to you, O God, glory to you.
Okay, get your home liturgy sheets ready. We're going to sing our opening hymn. Sing loud, "Come Thy Fount of Every Blessing."
Come Thy Fount of Every Blessing, tune my heart to sing Thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise His name, I'm fixed upon it, name of God's redeeming love. Hitherto Thy love has blessed me, Thou hast brought me to this place, and I know Thy hand will bring me safely home by Thy good grace. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger, bought me with His precious blood. Oh, to grace how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let Thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to Thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it for Thy courts above.
Amen. And if you were standing, well, then you can be seated. Please join me as we confess our sins before God and one another, using the words found printed in your liturgy sheet. O God, our great shepherd, You tenderly gather us as lambs, carrying us with Your all-embracing love. Yet like sheep, we wander from You, following our own ways, ignoring Your voice, distrusting Your provisions. Forgive our stubborn rebellion, our hardened hearts, our lack of trust. Refresh us once again by Your quiet waters of mercy, and restore our souls by Your redeeming love. Guide our paths, that we might follow You more closely. Through Jesus Christ, our good shepherd, we pray. Amen. Friends, hear the good news. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
Amen. If you were standing, then you may be seated. Will you join me in prayer? Father in heaven, we come before You not in an attempt to force Your hand, but to acknowledge our helplessness and dependence on You. These last days have stripped away any illusion that we are in control. It is at once a scary reality and yet freeing. Grant each of us a deep and abiding sense of Your presence in these troubling times. Awaken our hearts to Your majesty and power so that we will be comforted. Comforted by the assurance that You are in control. That viruses, earthquakes, tornadoes, that all these things that are scary, they all fall under Your sovereign control. Your providence works all things for Your glory. And because of this, we will not fear. Father, You tell us to bring to You our cares and concerns, so today We pray for the leaders who continue to grapple with tough decisions about how best to act in these troubling times. Grant them wisdom, discernment, humility to seek your will, wisdom to listen. Father, we pray for the Church Universal, for its mission to spread the gospel to the corners of the world. We pray for those who labor in that endeavor. We pray that you would bear fruit for them so they would be encouraged. We pray for our church, for Hopewell Presbyterian, that during these times of being a scattered church, that we would remain connected in spirit, that we would reach out by phone and text to our members, that we would stay connected, that as we work through this and come out of this, that our mission would be clearer and our faith would be stronger. We pray for those affected medically and economically. We lift them up to you. We pray for those on the front lines, nurses and doctors and EMTs, but also folks like grocery store clerks and truck drivers and those who just have to go to work. We pray that you would protect them. Father, now we pray for those in our heart. And together with one voice, we pray together the prayer that you taught us to pray, saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our scripture this morning from the New Testament is John 16, verse 33. John 16, verse 33. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world. And for our sermon scripture this morning, we're going to read Psalm 42 and 43. They would have originally been one psalm, so we'll take them together. Psalm 42. As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been food day and night, while they say to me all the day long, Where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul. How I would go with the throng and lead them in the procession in the house of God, with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude of keeping festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. My soul is cast down within me. Therefore I remember you from the land of Jordan, and of Hermon, and Mount Mizar, deep calls to deep at the roar of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have gone over me. By day the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me, while they say to me all the day long, Where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, and I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. Vindicate me, O God, and defend my cause against an ungodly people. From the deceitful and unjust man, deliver me. For you are the God in whom I take refuge. Why have you rejected me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of my enemy? Send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy, and I will praise you with the lyre, O God, my God. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall praise him, my salvation and my God. The grass withers, the flower fades, but God's word endures forever. Where is your God? I've heard, even thought, some variation of that question over the last few weeks. Where is your God? Where is God? Where are you, God? It's an honest question in times like these. It can even be a healthy question. I thought of this psalm when I was scrolling through Facebook this week. Sermon research, you know. Someone had posted an article mocking a small church who, despite the warnings of local health officials, decided to continue to meet as a corporate body together. And sure enough, many, if not most, were affected with the coronavirus, some very badly. Someone wrote under the comment section, "Where is their God now?" You see, this church had loudly proclaimed that no, that their faith was strong enough and that God would protect them. Where was their God? Well, that church, you see, it had made a mistake. It's a mistake that many, and particularly the American church, make. We hold God to promises that he simply has not made. The rhythm of Scripture is not protection from tribulation. The rhythm of Scripture is not demonstrate enough faith and God will be forced to reward you. The rhythm of Scripture is, in troubled times, I will be with you. In troubled times, I will never leave you or forsake you. In troubled times, I will uphold you. The promise of Scripture is not protection. It's presence. It's his presence. It's the promise of salvation. The psalmist in Psalm 42 and 43 is deeply discouraged. He's apparently separated from his formal house of worship in Jerusalem, separated by some distance. Now, until recently, you and I couldn't relate to that, but we can now. It seems that his circumstances surrounding his inability to worship are unpleasant. He is in a great bit of distress. He feels overwhelmed by enemies who taunt him, who taunt his faith. The psalm is a series of laments, concluded with the refrain, "Why are you cast down, my soul? Why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall praise him again, my salvation and my God." Maybe you've felt like the psalmist this past week. One commentary put it this way. Imagine wading out into the ocean. You begin to feel the waves coming up against you, slowly at first. But they begin to get bigger. The water grows deeper. Soon the waves wash over you until you are submerged and terrified. That's the feeling behind this song. You see, the mistake is that we make is assuming that once we profess faith, that those waves of suffering, of grief, and doubt, they won't come our way. Or when they do, they won't overwhelm us. And sadly though, when those troubles come, and they come, our faith will then prove weak. Weak because it was built on false promises. Weak because it was built on unrealistic expectations. The coronavirus pandemic, this current period that we're in, is a great testing for the American church in general and a great testing for Hopewell specifically. Not that God sent the virus to test us, but in our suffering, in our fear, in our struggle, our faith is being tested, proven, as it were, purified. We will not come out of this the same. Our desire for true worship will be greater. Our mission is going to be clearer. Our faith stronger. That does not mean we won't have scars. In fact, maybe some scars are what we needed. The American church has become all too comfortable, all too casual about faith and mission and evangelism. The waves are becoming deep. In the days ahead, they will grow deeper. When they do, it's okay to cry out. It's okay to ask, "Where are you, God?" To long for Him to act. To press Him to act. To praise Him for purifying you in these moments. Like the psalmist, as our enemies taunt us, we must force ourselves to remember His faithfulness. Those enemies are going to come from all kinds of places. They're going to come from with outside, from non-believers who mock us. They're going to come from voices with inside the church who tells us that if we believe enough, that we won't suffer. But the biggest enemy that's going to speak to you is your own insecurity. That little voice whispering from within, "Where is your God now?" We must not listen to the enemy from without. And we must not listen to our own voices. We must listen to His word, which says, "Be strong, be courageous. Do not fear or be in dread, for I will never leave you. I will never forsake you." We must not be afraid to cry to God. We must remind ourselves that our Savior cried out too. Psalm 22. That famous psalm penned by King David. "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When David wrote those words, he felt like God had forsaken him. He felt like that despite the promises God had made to him. God had not forsaken him, but he felt like it. And we, too, like David, often level those same accusations. But we must remind ourselves, this cannot be true. Only one of God's people has ever been truly forsaken by God. His only Son, His beloved Son. Nailed to the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? Forsaken. Forsaken so that we would never have to be. Forsaken by God, paying the penalty of our sins so that we could have assurance of salvation. A well of confidence to draw on in these moments to know that God is here with us in these moments, that He has not forsaken us. God is not unfamiliar with our sorrow, our pain, or even our feeling of forsakenness. He is not a distant, aloof God who guides from afar. He is a God who has entered in to the journey. He entered in the pain through a sympathetic Savior, who has experienced every doubt and fear and struggle and forsakenness that you feel now and will feel in the days to come. And so as you weep and as you struggle, you can know that He is familiar with your pain. But His is not merely a sentimental sympathy. Jesus entered in and went further to answer death and fear. To you, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe that? Jesus carried in his body both the grief and the pain of living in a fallen world and the hope of humanity. The grief of a fallen world gone wrong. The grief of the intrusion of suffering and death, and yet hope. The hope of a world put to rights. The hope of death being defeated by a Savior who himself suffered, died, and was raised again. Friends, don't turn. Don't turn and listen to the voices of the enemy. Don't listen to your doubts and insecurities, the whispers from within. Turn to the Savior. A Savior who understands, who has felt every fear and anxiety and pain you're going to feel. A Savior who is not unacquainted with your tears. All your doubts, all your fears were nailed to that cross. And in His resurrection, you find real and certain hope. Where is your God? One might ask. Ruling and reigning, we reply. Amen. Would you please take your home liturgy sheet and confess as we affirm our faith? We're going to do it using the Heidelberg Catechism question 1. And so, believer, I ask, what is your only comfort in life and death? That I am not my own, but belong body and soul, both in life and death, to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with His precious blood, and has set me free from the power of the devil. He also preserves me in such a way that without the will of my Heavenly Father, not a hair can fall from my head. Indeed, all things must work together for my salvation. Therefore, by His Holy Spirit, He also assures me of eternal life and makes me heartily willing and ready from now on to live for Him. Amen. It's been a delight worshiping with you today. I look forward to when we do this together in this place. But until then, know I'm praying about you. I know that I miss you. I know that I'm available if you need me. And you should have my cell. It's at the bottom of your liturgy sheet. So please call, email, text, whatever. Our closing hymn is Because He Lives. Father, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you. Look with compassion upon the heartfelt desires of your servants, and purify our disordered affections, that we may behold your eternal glory in the face of Christ Jesus, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Go in His peace. Amen.